In the name of the Father, His Son, and His Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated. One of the challenges to proclamation on Trinity Sunday is that there are no biblical passages that discuss the peculiar Christian understanding of God as three persons. The Word and the Creed is personas, like the masked Greek actors where they play different characters. It is always the same person behind the three personas. Other monotheists are utterly baffled by both assertions in creeds and in doctrinal theses of just how the one God of the Abrahamic religions can appear to be three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and still be only one God. Such assertions about the Trinity emerge upon reflection upon Scripture, but are not found explicitly in Scriptures per se. Our readings for this day, for example, from Psalm 29 and Isaiah, illustrate the compelling power of God's voice, able both to create and destroy creation all at once, and able to convince the most unsuspecting of us to assent, indeed proclaim with vigor, "Here am I, send me." The voice can call us to return to the myriad problems of terra firma and risk being a problem, pointing out all the ways in which we as God's people just have lost our way and need to, at least, reform our behavior, if not full out repent and begin again. People, understandably, do not like to hear this prophetic voice, which explains why Jonah tried to get as far away from Nineveh as possible. In Romans, Paul leads us into more mystical territory with his assertion that, like Jesus, we can now call God by the more familiar name, Abba, Father, suggesting that, although we suffer with Christ, we will also start in His glory. In John, Nicodemus tries mightily to ask straightforward questions of Jesus, only to get an enigmatic response about when and being born from above. But she mistakes for being born again. Nick leaves, shaking his head and muttering, "How can these things be?" Instead of trying to squeeze something useful about the Trinity out of Scripture, which quite honestly doesn't have much to say about it, it may be better to turn to those Christians throughout the ages we call saints and mystics, those who may have yielded more insight about God in the English lectionary reading. Take, for instance, Judith of Norwich, a woman in the late 14th and early 15th centuries, who lived in a hut or cell attached to the capital wall of St. Julius Church in Norwich. During her lifetime, the city suffered the effects of the Black Plague, a peasant revolt, and the suppression of the laws. Julia, while sure she was dying, received a series of visions or showings, wrote them down in the first book ever written in English by a woman, Revelations of Divine Love. A popular summary of her showings has been reduced to the popular saying, "All shall be well, all shall be well, all manner of things shall be well." Yet if you look into the 31st chapter of the long text of her showings, we provide us with a bit more insight into the nature of the Holy Trinity and divine love. She would spend the rest of her life sharing these insights with those who came in the window of her cell, seeking spiritual guidance, The text begins, "And our good Lord answered to all questions and doubts which I could raise, saying most comfortingly, 'I may make all things well, and I can make all things well, and I shall make all things well, and I will make all things well, and you will see yourself that every kind of thing will be well.' When he says, 'I may,' I understand this to apply to the Father. And when he says, 'I can,' I understand it for the Son. And when he says, 'I will,' I understand it is for the Holy Spirit. And when he says, 'I shall,' I understand it for the unity of the Blessed Trinity. Three persons and one truth. And when he says, 'You will see yourself,' I understand it for the union of all men who will be saved in the Blessed Trinity. And in those five words, God wishes us to be enclosed in rest and peace." She refers to these five words, which are, "I may, I can, I will, I shall, you will." These five words we learn that God's wish for us is to be enclosed in rest and peace. God wants to surround us with divine love. And each persona of the Holy Trinity is forever and constantly involved in the enclosing or surrounding us with love, which in most of the Bible is described by the Hebrew word hesed. Hesed is perhaps best understood as an act of good faith rather than a feeling. It is a quality that humans are to share with God, that generous ability to put the interests of another weaker party before one's own, most especially the needs of the poor, widows, orphans, and strangers from other countries who are sojourning in the land. That is God's divine love, as revealed to Julian, is acting with love on behalf of others, just as God acts with love on our behalf. Since Scripture says we are made in God's image, then we are to be those people who exemplify peace, acts of faith and love toward others in the same way that God desires to enclose us, surround us with God's own divine love, rest, and peace. This suggests that the five words are, in the end, meant for us. We might think of it as the doctrine of the little engine of good. That is, to be made in God's image is to wake up each morning and say the five words: "I can, I may, I will, I shall, you will see yourself." Then we are to go about our days generously putting the interests of others ahead of our own. We will then be enclosed and surrounded by God's divine love, love and rest and peace, as we share that divine love with others. In receiving and giving of God's divine love, we discover that all shall be well. All shall be well. All manner of things shall be well. We find ourselves enclosed in rest and peace. When we say, "I may, I can, I will, I shall," you will see yourself once a day. How divine it would be to know, to really know, that the divine love of God and Father, Son, and Holy Spirit means to enclose us and surround us every day until that time when we will return to the household of God's divine love from whence we come. That day, we will all become one with the one whose image in whom we are created. Perhaps this is what ye will see yourself very neat. We will see who we really are and who we are created to be. We will see that we are the people meant to accept and share generously with others the divine love that those like Julian, Ignatius, Isaiah, Paul, and Jesus have tried so hard to describe and to live through acts of faith themselves. Surely such knowledge of ourselves deserves at least one day every year to remember who we are and to see ourselves as God sees us. Those people made in the image of God's own divine love, who may, who can, who will, and who shall share that love with others, all others, especially those in need. For it is when we do this that we see ourselves as we really are. God's beloved.